Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 8. He heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 13. "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. Things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, not St. John, as is in your bulletins. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." He called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, All sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. They had said, "He has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on your epistle lesson for today. From 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 16. "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. Things that are unseen are eternal." This is our text. Recently, one of my children and their family was out visiting a friend who, if you will, is well off enough to have all the cool toys. One of the toys, if you will, that they had, if I say a VR headset, does everybody know what I'm talking about? It's this thing you put on your head, and what you see is not the reality, if you will, that is about you, but some image being projected. And this was an incredibly cool VR headset, probably cost more than $50. It was 360. In other words, if you looked this way, you saw something, and if you turned around, you saw something else. And even went beyond that. I mean, this thing was so cool. It had devices you could put in your hands. And for instance, you could probably slay a dragon, and it would show your hand going out as your hand went out. Is that not cool? Don't you want one of them? But of course, they didn't start playing games with it. What they did when they first put it on one of my family members and his spouse, they showed them a plank going out over a wide expanse, a couple hundred feet deep. And the plank was about this wide. And they put the VR headset on, and the plank appeared. And they said, "Walk the plank." You know what happened? Nothing. They did not move. They were in the middle of a living room or family room or something like that. And at least in their brains, there was this notion that there is nothing to fear. Walk the plank. They couldn't, because every aspect of their visual cortex in their brain was saying, there is danger there. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In the immediate context of those words of the Apostle Paul, he was addressing death and the wasting away of our mortal bodies. We as Christians, at least the Christ side of us, have been trained not to be afraid of death. Oh yes, there is this reality that we see, bodies declining, strength fleeing from us. Then that final moment where we close our eyes and stop breathing. And it looks to the world as if life has left us. That's what we see with our physical eyes. But it's kind of like that plank. It may be what we see, but it's not the whole truth. There is another reality, but it's one, this side of glory that we can't see with our physical eyes. We only know it by faith. Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died and rose for us. Christ, our Lord and Savior, who had a family, a mother and brothers. Who, if you listen carefully to our gospel lesson for this morning, as he was teaching, thought he was out of his mind. Yeah. Jesus' own brothers and mother, during his earthly teaching ministry, thought he was crazy. He was talking about things that we can't see from this worldly point of view. But he wasn't crazy. He wasn't lying. He was speaking the truth. But it's a truth that in this life remains unseen. But it is eternal's truths that represent the life that we ultimately are aiming for. Through our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus. You know, it's interesting, those brothers that thought Jesus was crazy, who grew up with him, watched him, thought of him as being just a man. We know both from Scripture and from church tradition that those brothers became ardent believers. The resurrection of their Lord, their Savior, and their physical, at least half-brother, Jesus Christ. So much so that they were willing to give their lives in order to declare to others the truths that Jesus teaches. But life in this world is not designed to affirm the truths of God. It presents to us another reality, one that doesn't endure, but a reality that does get our attention. I'm just curious right now, by a show of hands, how many of you really like going on those wild and crazy roller coasters? Raise your hands. That is not a majority of the congregation. How many of you hate going on those wild and crazy roller coasters? I think that's the majority. I go on those roller coasters One of the coolest ones I've ever gone on, it's called the Superman Ride. It's at, Six Flags over kind of near Chicago or something like that? If you've never heard of the ride or seen the ride, this is why it's called Superman. They strap you in upside down. And then, as you go around your ride, I mean, you turn different ways as the ride is going. But one of the neatest parts of the ride is it comes and it brings you face down towards the ground. And I'm not sure if it's 6 feet or 4 feet. It's just enough so that there's no humanly possible way that you can hit the ground as you're flying past it. And it goes, maybe the length of the sanctuary as you're flying like Superman, just right off the ground. It gives you a sense of being totally out of control. And while some people enjoy those kinds of rides, I know there's other people who would have to bring a change of clothes if they were forced to go on one of those rides. Have you ever worried? Thinking that life is out of control? Well, you know, that's the reality you see. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster, flying 6 feet off the ground. Are you in control? Well, no, you aren't. You're in control of the people who designed and operate the ride. But if you trust them, what you realize is you're not out of control at all. Well, you are. But somebody that you trust is. And for some of us, at least, it allows us to fly 6 feet off the ground, upside down. And I still see people shaking their heads. I'm never going to do that. Because we trust that person who is in control to guard us and protect us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. I love the King James version of it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the truth. Does it look that way? No. No, life often seems like it's totally out of control. That's the reality that we see. We grow older, or when disease grips us, it looks like we are wasting away and life will be ripped away from us. Those are the things we see. But there is another reality, the true and eternal reality that God teaches us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And there's many more such realities that we learn through the gospel. The knowledge of forgiveness. But you cannot fall so far away from God. He cannot redeem you. The reality of life in this world is that there is no justice, but the real hidden reality is there is an ultimate justice. Everything gets paid for. If you are willing to receive it, God will pay for all your sins and all your wrongdoings in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, if you're not willing to receive that, God will let you pay. That is not his will or desire. But make no mistake, our just God will establish his justice. He redeems us. He's in control of our life, though it seems so out of our control. And on that day when life is about to slip away, there seems like there's nothing we can do about it, we need not fear. We can walk the plank, knowing that we are safe in the loving hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, bring us safely to our eternal dwelling. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.